There are two kinds of surrender, two ways that you can surrender. One of the ways you can surrender is because you are defeated. When you're defeated, you have to surrender. You got to give up. There's another kind of surrender, however, that is when you are convinced, moved. All right, the first kind of surrender is this kind where you are conquered. You get overtaken, you get outmatched, and you get outwitted. There are incredibly famous surrenders throughout history, and because I'm a history buff, I'm going to make you suffer with me as we think about a couple of those surrenders that took place. The first one is the surrender of Lord Cornwallis. That painting is hanging in the rotunda at the Capitol building. It is the picture of the surrender of the English to effectively a bunch of scrappy farmers who came together to say, we will not stand for tyranny. All right? All right, I'm just getting you juiced. I can feel it. All right, we're getting excited here. Famous surrender. We had an incredible surrender many, many years later in May 7th and 8th. There's actually two surrenders in 1945. Nazi Germany was overpowered by righteousness and goodness. Their cowardly leader, Adolf Hitler, had taken his own life just a week before this. Nazi Germany was finished. And the opening document that they signed said, we, the undersigned, acting by authority of the German High Command, hereby surrender unconditionally to the Supreme Commander, Allied Expeditionary Forces, and simultaneously to the Soviet High Command, all forces on land, sea, and in the air who are at this date under German control. Beaten, whipped, overtaken, surrender. That's what we often think about when we think about surrender. And even there's small pictures. Over the past weekend, I got to go hang out with my brother, get some time with him. He's probably my greatest, closest friend. So we got to catch up and relax and hanging out in some of the mountains in New Mexico. But I remember when we were kids, I was 2 years older, and we would wrestle. And I would just put the whoop on my brother all the time. And I would make him say, I would say, like, who's your daddy? I would do that kind of, you know, like, really. And I dominated. I'm just going to be honest with you. Thank God we grew out of wrestling each other. He's stronger than I am now, so that's, he would put the whoop on me. But eventually, I had kids and didn't need a little brother to pick on because God gave me sons. And inevitably what would happen is they would, you know, the little young man's moxie, they'd try to like, hey, try to mess with me. And I'd be like, hey, you want a piece of me?
Yes.
And they'd, you bet. And then they would come with all of their might and I would dominate them. And it usually in the form of incredible tickling where I would pin their arms back and then it just was to their ever-loving fright experience. And I used this exact same thing, like, who's your daddy? Is what I would just, I kept saying to them, who's your daddy? And I would make them say, hey, you are, of course I am their dad, D. I mean, that's who I am. But it was a total annihilation in every way. And they had to surrender. And so here's my question. When we sing, I surrender all, is that what we mean? Like the German commander or a little kid that's been completely overpowered, destroyed, taken out. I know. My son's 18. I got to be chill because he's much stronger now. So I love you. I love you. There you go. Amen. I love you. God. So good. That will cost me like $20 later for him doing that. But I was kidding. Is that what we mean? Like totally humiliated to the point where you just say I'm defeated? I don't think so. And while the scripture is true, speaks to the truth of the enemies we were with God before we came into this family in our hearts, I don't think this is the kind of surrender that the scripture talks about. There's another kind of surrendering we do when we say, I surrender all. There's a kind of surrender where you gladly give yourself over to what is true. There's a kind of surrender that you give yourself over to what is true. There's a different surrender when you find what is true. It is the delight of your life. And you fully, gladly, not in shame and humiliation, but in delight, pass your heart and life over. It's the same kind of picture that, like if you got a buddy, and they're like, oh my gosh, have you ever had barbecue from Franklin Barbecue in Austin, Texas? And you go, no. And they go, oh my gosh, you've got to try, because this barbecue will change your life. Or the person that says, have you ever read this book? It will change your life. If you read this book, or have you ever seen this movie, it will totally move you. Go, oh no, I've never tried that. And they're going, you've got to try that. You got to go. You got to pick that book. You got to read it. Have you ever been to this place? No, I've never been. No, you have to go and be at this place. It's amazing. And you go, I don't know. No, you don't have a choice. You have to go. And you go, okay, I'll go to experience the delight of heart. They paint a picture of what is delightful, delectable, that you have to be a part of it. You have to try, you have to eat, you have to surrender. You say, let's do it. All right, road trip or whatever it is, but we have to do this. And you put that brisket in your mouth, or you finally read that novel. You finally go to that theater and it transforms you. You give yourself over. It does something to you. That is the surrender that the Bible talks about. There was something we had with God in the garden, and it was greater than any book or food or movie or novel. We had it, and it was lost. And Jesus came back to eradicate and remove sin, and to open the door to say, if you'll give yourself to this, oh my gosh, you could have this again. Something would move in you. You could be changed and transformed. You could come back to what was lost. Will you surrender? Will you try? Will you taste? And when you taste it, you're transformed. You're changed. You cannot not be moved. And sometimes that transformation that the scripture's inviting us into is at the root level. If you got a chance to be here last week, CZ did such an incredible job of describing this transformation that can begin to take place that no one can see because it's deep down. It's at the root level. It's at the cellular level where God is reorienting things, rewiring things. He's rewriting your entire story. He's taking the incredible, broken, sick, humiliated, harmful things of your past and giving you brand new life and brand new hope and brand new ability to trust and walk with Him. But sometimes we don't see it immediately. Sometimes it's slowly changed over time. And as good Americans, we always get frustrated with the process. We like to have our things now, but God is doing a work of transformation when we surrender. But sometimes the transformation is incredibly outward. And CZ talked about that too, fruit. Sometimes it's in an instant because our God is miraculous. Meaning to say, you might have something going on in your life right now. You need God to come and transform. And church, that king we just sang to, he is able. There are these therefore realities that we have with God. When we surrender to him, he does deep root work, cellular work in us, but he also transforms us even in an instant. He moves. So that whether you and I are being changed over years or whether you and I are being changed in a moment, here's what we can't get away from. When you are in Christ, you are changed. You are moved. There is no like signing up for fire insurance. Yeah, it probably sounds good to try to get to heaven somehow. No, no, when you say yes to the living King, therefore your life becomes different in him first. And then outwardly as his spirit begins to do his work. Meaning today, there are new things that God wants to do in you. There are new things that God wants to do in me today. I've been following Jesus for a long time. I've been a pastor for more than 2 decades. There is so much transformation God wants to do in me. And I'm just still learning how to yield, still learning how to trust, still learning how to surrender. That is the call we have throughout the Word of God. Surrender and be changed. But it's not because we've been browbeaten. It's because we've been invited to that which is greater than anything we could create for ourselves. You guys are there in Romans chapter 11. And let me just set this up for you. This book of Romans, there's this apostle Paul, this man who hated Jesus, who couldn't stand the followers of Jesus, who hated the theology of Jesus and the truth of Jesus, and sought to eradicate all who wanted to talk about Jesus. He was transformed and therefore was sent on an incredible mission to help all people know Jesus. And he was willing to go to the ends of the earth that he was aware of, to tell people about Jesus, and was willing to lose his life for it. And he's writing this letter to the Christians who were trying to gather and coming together in Rome. And he is on a tear. If you have had any opportunity to spend any amount of time in any part of Romans, it is the most incredible declaration of the gospel front to end. But as he gets towards the end of this letter, he's writing in Romans 9 and 10 and 11, and he is describing mysteries we cannot get our heads fully around this side of heaven. Romans 9, 10, and 11, he is describing the sovereign power of God to bring Jews and Gentiles to himself and the incredible mysteries of what God has been doing now for thousands of years, ransoming us for himself and drawing us into himself and doing it in ways we couldn't put on paper. Ways that we couldn't even construe with our minds. And Paul's trying to unpack all this in these chapters, and it's incredible, and we're watching his sovereign power to bring the world to himself and all of the promises and prophetic purposes of everything that God has been doing, Jew and Gentile, to bring them to himself. And he's describing these mysteries and his power to bring sick and broken and wounded people and restore them. He's speaking about us. He's speaking about his work in Israel in the hearts of the Jewish people. And you rarely read these texts and come away going like, oh, I understand it all. you more often go, oh my gosh, that hurts my brain. I'm gonna read this again. It's mysterious, it's wonderful, it's amazing. And when you read this, you come to the end of this teaching, and he describes this experience of the wonder of the might of this God. In Romans 11, you can start in verse 33. He says, oh, the depths of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. How inscrutable are his ways, meaning mysterious. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. He's undone. He's fascinated with this glorious God. He's far beyond what we could comprehend. And he says, okay, then I appeal to you, brothers, therefore. Say therefore. Therefore. This is in light of the glorious God, who's so unsearchable and so mysterious and so glorious. He says this, I appeal to you, if this is true, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, what is perfect. In other words, his ways are so high, they're so great and so glorious. Therefore, surrender everything you've got in you, your bodies, your minds, everything in you, give it over to him. It's far beyond anything you could craft or create for yourself. It's far beyond anything the world has to offer to you. And so he literally says, in light of who God is, I appeal to you. Therefore, give it all. Your whole heart and your whole mind, your whole body. In other words, the delight that is to be had from this God, give it up. It is the greatest invitation that this world could ever hear, for the opportunity to give up you to get everything you've ever wanted in him, to be transformed. The word here, when he says, let your mind be transformed, the idea is, for mind is the way that you think. Like the very attitude of your mind. Say, it could be transformed. You could think differently about everything around you. Not to be conformed into the way that the world thinks about everything, which is so enticing to go with the flow, but to be so undone by the unsearchable God. Meaning, when we say unsearchable, it means you'll never get to the bottom. You can keep drinking and drinking. You can keep going deeper and deeper. You'll never get to the end of it. You'll never get to the end of him. I actually think that's the point of eternity. Is it will take an eternity to try to get to the bottom of God. To just be undone over and over and over. Everybody's thinking it's like a 10,000-hour worship service. And I'm here to tell you, it's like the opportunity to be doubled over in delight, searching out the glory of this God. And he's saying, don't wait until then, get it now. Be transformed. Let this truth of who this God is move your heart and move your body and move your mind into a different way of living. He's so glorious, therefore, surrender. It's that age-old saying from C.S. Lewis where we try to get our heads around it. He says, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in the slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. What an unbelievable declaration of what this scripture is saying. If you've ever had the scripture declared to you, you better worship God, you present your bodies, you hunker down, grit your teeth, and give yourself over to God. That's not what the Bible is saying. The Bible is saying he's so great and so big. If you were to let your heart and mind go there, you will be transformed. But will you go there with him? That's the offer. It's what I feel personally. Stirring. Be transformed. See him and watch the way that you think about him and the way that you think about yourself be changed. Man, how amazing would that be? To wake up on a Tuesday with the offer to get out of the slums doing mud pies and to be offered a brand new view of him and of who you are in him. Like you can have that. So that if you're sitting in shame and guilt, you can be restored and redeemed and be brought to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God. If you are crippled under hurtful, painful addiction, you can offer this over to God. Surrender and let him speak what he says over you and be transformed. In the scripture saying, in light of the glory and the fantasticness of this God, trust that this God is better. Trust. That's what it's asking of every one of us this morning. Will you trust this truth more than what you see with your eyes and hear with your ears? Will you trust him this way? There are inevitably places even in your life and your heart right now the Lord wants to minister to with his glorious presence. And he's asking you, will you trust him that his ways are better, that his words are better, that his truth is right? That's where transformation happens. How do we experience it? We turn our hands over and we surrender. It would be awesome if I could give you the 3 points of what you have to do to fix what needs to be fixed in you. I feel like most sermons are probably oriented that way. I have no points. It's just one truth. Surrender. Just turn your hand over and say, I'm not God. And you are, and you're glorious. And we get to confess, here are all the ways I've gone my own way. I keep trying, and it keeps not working out. So I want to go your way. Surrender. You're glorious. It's better. Here are my fears today, God. Here is my hurt today, God. Here is my sadness. Here are my hopes. Here are my needs. Doesn't really matter what you're facing, but God, you get it all. I'm giving it to you. I know what the world says. I know what the circumstances say. I know what my voice tends to try to tell me in my own head. But I choose today to stop listening to the voices of the world, and I'm going to stop listening to the voice of the enemy, and I'm going to silence my own voice, which usually means turn off the screens and just all of the, and just, what do you have to say, good King? I cannot imagine how rich and how glorious are his words that he has to give to you on a Monday morning. But it's better. It's better than anything you'd say to yourself, better than anything the news stories have to give to you. Better than the weather channel. Better than brisket and novels and movies. It's just better. So will you go get it? James says, by the way, the brother of Jesus, he wrote a letter also. He said the exact same thing. He says, every good and perfect gift, every good and perfect, meaning every good thing you've got, your family, the church, your amazing preacher, all of the good gifts that you have. Come on. Every good gift you have is coming from above, coming down from this Father, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change, meaning God's not wishy-washy. God's not up there like, oh gosh, what am I gonna do now? He's just a good Father who's giving every good gift. And of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creation. So if that's true, and if he's this good and he's got these incredible gifts to give, therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore, put away filth and wickedness and receive, there it is. This is the surrender. Receive with meekness or with some humility the implanted word which will save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, these good gifts come down as life from a good Father so that you would trust me to put away what the world wants to dabble in and what? Receive his words so you can do his words. You receive his words so you can do his words. meaning every ounce of obedience or what God's calling you to or what feels like a mountain that you can't cross or the forgiveness the Lord is asking you to walk in or the handing over of the besetting sin that is strangling you. You can hand those over and you have a good Father who will today receive you and will cover you and restore you and redeem you so that you don't wake up tomorrow morning with 10-ton weight on your shoulders. You wake up in the presence of the one who has chosen to make his home inside of you. Glory, hallelujah. You don't have to show up to a church service. You don't have to get over to Jerusalem. You can wake up in the morning and get what this King has to give to you. Therefore, surrender. We're gonna just finish with that right now. You guys stand and we're just gonna take 2 minutes and surrender. Call to follow this Jesus is the call to trust him and to obey him. Trust him and obey him. So here's what we're going to do. Close your eyes. Everything else melts away. And I want you just to bring one thing. I'm sure we all could name 20 things. I just want you to bring one thing. A place of fear. Place of worry, a hope that feels like it's been sitting dormant, or some promises that you've had that just feel like gone, a place of your heart that feels numb to God. Maybe it's a place of sin. If you're here and you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe it's just being willing to trust him and to open up and surrender, maybe for the first time ever. Doesn't really matter what it is, but would you bring the one thing right now? And tell God about it. In your heart and mind, I'm not gonna make you come up here, but tell him right now the one thing that you're asking. Him to come and for you to, with your whole heart in delight, surrender. Not like a German warlord, like a son who is a daughter who's being offered a holiday at sea. He's offering you a vacation on the ocean. Will you surrender? Here's my sin. Here's my shame. Here's my guilt. Here's my hopes. Here are my dreams. Would you give it to him right now? I'm gonna give you 20 seconds. Give it to him. I'm handing it over. Surrender. I surrender all. Okay. Now, with meekness, receive what he wants to give to you right now. Would you ask him? With meekness. This is what I'm just doing what the Bible says. With meekness, receive his word. What does he say to you right now? What is he saying? Get it. Receive it. It's a gift. We yield and we receive today, and we believe you to do rich, deep root work in us today so that we're transformed. We're not leaving here the same. Transform us right now. We trust you, God. We believe you. We believe your word is greater, and we follow you to the end of the earth. We'll finish this morning with some prayer partners. And if you got something heavy on you, or you just want some partnership or encouragement, we're gonna be here to pray with you. So come, let us pray and cover you. We're gonna walk as a family and bless each other. So we'll be here to do that. We'll close with our benediction this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you now and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, our Messiah, Savior, we pray. Amen.